Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex. Terry is here as well. This week, we're here to talk about the Interstellar Song Contest, written by Juno Dawson, directed by Ben A. Williams, aired 17th of May, 2025. Before we begin, it is time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 25-second plot synopsis. On your mark, get set, go.
It's the Interstellar Song Competition, but they're about to meet an awful, awful fate when the Hellions show up and they decide to eject absolutely everybody in outer space, but they're not dead. They're just going to be frozen. The Doctor comes in and he says, hey, you can't do that and I hate you. They're like, no, we are oppressed. And then the Doctor shocks him absolutely, like, a whole lot. And then Susan shows up and Susan's like, Doctor, stop. And the Doctor is like, no, and keeps shocking him.
Time. Shut up.
The shocking portion taking up 40 of that 25 seconds.
I hit the important
Susan
points.
Has never once called the Doctor, Doctor.
Oh, so. Grandfather. Sorry. My bad.
You fucking idiot.
Looks like you lose the podcast, Cody. I'm sorry.
What a maroon.
Oh, no. Cody's last day.
Hey, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this one?
Okay. I loved so many elements of it. I don't know completely. I think I really liked it. I liked a lot of the characters. I liked a lot of the story. I just am questioning some aspects of it. So overall, 8 out of 10. I know we don't give it a number, but I did.
It's pretty high. 8 out of 10 would be like top 2% for me. This is my favorite show. Terry, why don't you go next?
I really enjoyed this episode. Really fun to look at. Music is great. Not too many things made me sad or unhappy. So, yeah, great episode.
Don't come in here and make Terry sad or unhappy.
Nothing made me sad or unhappy. The potential death of 100,000 people, no big deal. Sam.
Alex, you haven't sang the song yet.
What?
I told
Try
him
Ronnie.
To.
Oh, well, it's not my turn yet.
Don't encourage him. He was going to do it 96 times without you saying anything.
A lot happened. That's what I got to say. A lot.
I'm currently almost done editing the one before the barbershop one. The one that's just Ruby.
The well?
No, the one after the well. Lucky Day.
Yeah.
And basically the part I stopped at was Alex going, I bet she's the Ronnie.
Not going to say I called it, but, you know.
I mean, if we just keep guessing things for 300 episodes, we'll eventually land on one, right?
Well, if you keep saying the Ronnie for every person you see, eventually it's going to be the Ronnie, which is, to divert a little bit, that's exactly what RTD said in the behind the scenes. He just goes, every time there's someone, everyone just assumes it's the Ronnie. So I said, fuck it. It's going to be the Ronnie.
You're going to be right this time.
That all you got, Sam, for now?
Yeah.
It was a lot. All right, Cody.
Hey, it's been a while. Jake, grab that photograph of me on your desk.
Look at this photograph.
Look at this photograph.
look at it. Look at me deep in the eyes. This is the best episode of New Who that we've seen this season.
Okay. It got real good and then diminished in like the last part of that phrase.
I was like, I don't know
it's
how big of a compliment
in the
that
top
is.
Six.
And last season. I don't have a good enough memory to say it, but certainly for
I mean, Black Spot is out there. So.
For Shooty, this is Shooty's best episode.
All right, Alex, I saved you for last. What'd you think?
Dude, this season is nothing but stonks. It just keeps going up. There was one episode where it plateaued, but everything is just better than the last.
For the listener, can you explain if stonk is good or bad?
Stonks is good. Because
that's not a word that's ever been used.
You want
diamond
stonks.
Hands.
Stonks always go up.
Jake is true diamond hands for Doctor Who, let's be honest.
He's been hanging on. Doctor Who's going to zero.
Yeah. I knew you really liked it, so I just wanted to make sure the audience is getting that off of the made up words you're using.
Yeah. No, it was very good. Just the story, like before all the Susan and Ronnie stuff, I really liked the story. And like when she's singing her song, like it got me. Like, I was getting choked up. It was so good. It was a good story. And then adding all of the extra at the... Well, I mean, Susan, I guess, was like halfway through the episode. So, anyway. But whatever. Great episode.
Shy Ronnie.
Jake.
Jake?
Yes?
Would you like to sing Shy Ronnie?
I'll do the whispery rap part.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's a Saturday Night Live skit.
Referenced two podcasts ago, Alex cannot mention the Ronnie without mentioning a character from Saturday Night Live from the early 2000s.
So long ago?
That's the peak of SNL. Crazy.
Maybe it's got to be before 2010.
Yeah.
Weird. It's like if we had a producer, they could look into these things.
If only.
Nope.
But it was peak Rihanna. Like, really, Rihanna sells that skit, and it was really
Sketch,
yeah.
Oh, I was right. I randomly guessed last podcast that it was 2009. It was December 5th, 2009.
Nice. Holy smokes. If anybody's going to get that right, it's going to be Jake.
Anyway. What'd you think, Jake?
I really, really liked about 26 minutes of this episode. And I really dislike about 23 minutes of this episode.
Show me on this episode where the episode touched you.
The 14 minutes in a hallway, not a fan.
In the museum?
And, yep.
Aww.
When they're just in a hallway, not doing anything for most of the episode. I really love the beginning and the setup. Yeah, it was like the museum of all previous... Or it's not really a museum, it's the hallway around the dome. But
okay.
They put out memorabilia for all the previous Interstellar Song Contests.
We watched 20 minutes of Eurovision before watching this episode of Doctor Who, just to, you know, get in the mindset.
I didn't catch any this year.
There's a milkshake song. Go take a listen. You're welcome.
Shooty was supposed to introduce the British act and backed out like 2 days before, day before.
Rude.
Mm-hmm. Too cool for school. Okay. So, yeah. Stuff. Go ahead. I'll leave my takes out of it for now.
So, is the show host guy, is he like Simon Cowell? Like, what's...
Ryland. No, he's like a professional host. Like, in the UK, they call him a presenter.
So, like Seacrest?
Yeah, kinda? Closer to Seacrest,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except likable.
Ooh, was he likable?
Hey. Is he an IRL person?
Yes, he's an IRL person. He was playing himself.
That's fun.
Could anyone identify him from his teeth before the big face shot?
Well, I knew he was in it already. But he's been in a lot of like the panel shows, like 8 out of 10 Cats, Would I Lie to You, stuff like he does all those, News of the Week. And he was in one of the Taskmaster New Year's Day specials.
I was going to ask if he was in Taskmaster.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen him in Taskmaster.
I haven't, but I feel like you have to be famous. It's, you know, the one show that well, I feel like they talk about all the time here.
They started doing those New Year's Day specials so that they could get in non-comedians who are just like very entertaining. And so he was like a no-brainer for it. And he was great.
Cool. I liked him. He didn't have a whole lot, but yeah. Like he hit the right points. He's great.
It's funny in the behind the scenes, he was talking about how like he's done a little bit of acting before, but his main thing about how this character wasn't really him is he goes, I would never listen to somebody talking to my ear. I just do whatever I want.
That's great.
But the behind the scenes was actually how I learned about the Ronnie reveal, because I immediately turned it off when the credits started and then started watching the behind the scenes on YouTube. And the host is like, oh, it's so exciting because I was here for a previous bi-generation. And now I get this bi-generation where Mrs. Flood turns out to be the Ronnie. And I'm like, surely he's making a joke and it's going to be like psych or whatever. Nope, actually happened.
It was like 3 seconds in. How did you shut it off so fast?
Right. We can never find the remote. I couldn't believe how fast. Like when I went back and saw it, I couldn't believe how quick it was. Like I have no idea how I turned it off.
Yeah, when you said mid credits, I was like, oh, we're gonna be here a bit. Like, nope, just immediately.
Yeah, it was like 3 seconds. I was like, how?
He just hears the drum and he's like, all right, we're done.
That's the end of the story.
And that is that. Click.
I'm going to feel and sound real stupid for a moment.
Sick.
What is the Ronnie?
Well, hold on. Are we isolating specific moments now when you sound stupid?
So I don't remember
what this podcast was.
Where this came up before.
We haven't don't seen know it the yet. Ronnie.
Yeah. I think I don't,
Alex
I don't
and
either.
Jake know the Ronnie.
We know it's me of and Jake. The Ronnie.
I can't remember if Terry was part of
remember that. Remember when I made you guys watch those three stories about the White Guardian?
Nope.
I told you,
that
Cody.
Was a mistake.
I told you. That was a mistake.
You should.
During the extra
there
credits.
There are two classic Ronnie stories that I guess I should have showed you.
God damn it.
During that extra piece where it was the Ronnie, I was like, oh well, we watched all that for nothing, here we are.
Oh, like
I still am not giving up on there being like Celestials and Eternals and stuff, but I like we were just kind of starting that when it started becoming more apparent that it was going to be the Ronnie and the rumors started getting a little bigger, but I just powered through.
Love to see it.
We don't have to do it when we get there then.
Yeah.
Because we'll definitely
we get to watch
remember
the middle of the Key to Time series, and then just skip the
How
beginning and end.
How else would we get to talk about plantation owners?
Well, I do say,
I declare.
Jake hates his decision so much now.
Why was Cody doing a Southern woman?
That was Terry.
Wait, what's no, not? Was, it was
that
Cody.
Was
Cody.
No, that was oh.
Terry
so
is
humbled.
A Southern woman.
I believe the term is Southern Belle.
Oh.
So the doctor. So first of all, I love all the Eurovision stuff or the Interstellar Song Contest. The image of everyone getting sucked up into the sky is insane. I couldn't believe they did that on Doctor Who.
That was brutal as fuck. It, like, that was the shot where I was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
And it seemed like this is what RTD's original run, like, if he had the technology back then, because it's not really any cheap or more expensive to make the show now, even though there's some Disney money, but this is the kind of stuff he would have done. Like, he loved big events, like everything took place in London. That's why there's always like news stories. Everything impacted the whole world instead of like, you know, the 70s we're watching now. Everything's like in a village out in the middle of nowhere and it's isolated with UNIT and all that. And this is totally the kind of thing. Like, it seems so much RTD, even though it was written by Juno Dawson. There's a lot of RTD, both good and bad, in this story.
I thought they did a really good job of like lightening up a little bit with the host guy. So when they all get like blasted out into outer space, they just do like the close up on the host guy who lands the quip, "Oh, not again." Just kind of telling all the viewers that, hey, they're cryogenically freezing here. They're not, you know, explosive decompressioning.
Well, and the next scene was the showrunner lady being like, "They're still alive. You can still save them." It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, it's still Doctor Who.
Well, oh, yeah. When the doctor got sucked up, I thought we were going to have another Dr. Light episode and actually see Belinda like figure this out. Like, I really wanted to see this episode as like a growth moment for her.
Belinda didn't do shit.
Belinda crumbled. Right. She's like, "I'm alone. I have no way out of here. I don't even know where I am."
Yeah,
what the
she
fuck?
Fell apart. And the doctor gets a confetti cannon. Very shooty. It just blasts its way back into the airlock.
But at least they established the confetti cannons before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
True. That's true.
But the best joke in the episode is the director telling Ryland to give some awe. And him going, "Aw." Which you know, I mean.
Yeah, that was great. That was really good.
I really disliked the cat lady that just said four words in French, and that was just kind of her thing. Their thing.
She's a real French.
Of course. Sam doesn't even know who I'm talking about.
In the behind the scenes, she is not in it at all. Like, they only focus on Ryland and they do not mention that woman. She is not interviewed. They don't like go through like the makeup of becoming a cat producer, which they love to do in the behind the scenes. Just nope, she doesn't exist.
Really just didn't give her much. But you know who they did give much to and who they should give more to and who should be companions for the rest of time? Our hard light engineer and the nurse.
Oh
yeah,
dude, they had a mini arc.
New nurse, let's get rid of the old one.
They had a mini arc. It was so good.
One of these nurses was useful. One of them was not.
Bye, Belinda. Sorry. Sorry. We got our new companions.
And we love when there's a married couple in the TARDIS.
Yep.
Also, why are they both so in love with the doctor?
Because the doctor's in love with
him.
And also kind of offended for each other being in love with the doctor, I think.
I think they did that in a very fun stride. It was like, to heck with you. No, that's my doctor.
It's like, get in line. What are you doing?
That was cute.
It was funny. Very funny. What kind of stadium here just has like protections for the elite class up in the bubbles, but everybody else, oh, I hope this dome just chills, bro.
Well, it wasn't intended that way. It's just box seats like every stadium in the history of the world. Every stadium has exactly what you're describing.
And the lady Hellion saved them. Like, she deliberately closed it off. It was supposed to stay open and suck them up too.
Yeah, but she was saving her fellow Hellion, Cora.
Yep. Which I thought was very, like, I didn't really catch that on the first watch, but on the second one, I was like, oh, she did something.
One of the things I dislike so much is just the super long reveal of Cora being a Hellion. It's like, yeah, no shit. We figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah. If I figure out before it's given, it's too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you're dumb.
When she had the line, "A lot of people say a lot of things," I was like, oh, she's a Hellion. Like, just reveal it then. Like, that was, there was
like,
so
there
much after that.
Like, there were multiple times before they revealed it that it was revealed.
So there's, I made, the second time I watched it, I took some time stamps. So, like, the doctor gets sucked up into the air at the 11-minute mark. Those first 11 minutes, no notes. Great. He is gone for 7 minutes before he wakes up. Those 7 minutes are Belinda melting down. We don't need that much time to see Belinda not being helpful. And then it's the 30-minute mark before he gets into the control room. So for 12 minutes, they're in the hallway doing fuck all.
I thought Belinda didn't know what was happening for the longest time.
In the hallway, they had the whole interface where the doctor is threatening the guy. And then he goes to the bridge.
I counted, yeah, but that's 14 seconds of the 12 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. They're, yeah.
It was just a real, I understand this is an expensive episode, but that's a lot of time to be sitting in one set with three people.
See, and not doing anything. I liked it because in those 12 minutes or whatever, it showed the mini arc of the married couple. Because, like, when they were trying to get to their seats, they were on the verge of, like, getting a divorce. And then they start seeing each other shining, and they're like, oh, my God, I love this man. And, like, it was, I loved it.
I think if we could have combined, so I guess the doctor has to keep his rage because he thinks Belinda's dead.
Yep.
Maybe see more of that. He's a little too jokey at first.
I mean, he blew those robots' heads off.
I do have in my notes, Alex said he wanted to see Angry Shooty, and here you go.
Oh my God, he was so good.
It was uncomfortable, like, very well done.
A lot of pricks on the internet are complaining that he went too far. It's like, yeah.
Dude, okay.
Do you remember Capaldi? Remember Tennant? You remember every doctor ever? They all will have a moment where they go too far.
Specifically Capaldi.
Also, he didn't go that far.
He didn't go that far.
He tortured a man.
Yeah. That guy was going to kill like 3 million people.
Trillion.
So many.
I got massive Eccleston vibes when Eccleston sees the Dalek in, what was that, episode 2 of his run?
No, but close.
It was so like rage and nothing, and then it was the companion that like backed him off. It was so good.
Oh man, I miss Eccleston.
What you just said is perfect for kind of something that rubbed me the wrong way. Is the companion didn't do anything except just show up.
Well, yeah, she existed. So,
like,
yeah,
she sees him on the screen and is like, "That's not the doctor." But we don't see that when they get together. Is her saving him like Donna did, or like Martha did?
Yeah,
and we just don't get it, that interaction. She shows up and he's like, "Oh shit, Belinda's alive!" And she's like, "Hey, you scared me, man." And he's like, "Yeah, me too." Well, she I guess we're out of here.
I will say she was calling him out on his shit. Like at the end of the episode, she's like, "Hey, I never told you, but you're great." And he's like, "Oh, thanks, but you need to like check yourself." And I loved that for Belinda. Like she's been like this checker. Like she's checking
she
him.
She said,
on
"I
all
never
shit.
I never know what you're thinking."
Yeah, but like the intonation was, you need to figure your shit out.
We had Martha do that with the sit down and gridlock of like, "Hey, I'm not moving a fucking step until you start talking."
Yeah.
And that was just done a lot better than here. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for Belinda. This could have been a really cool moment for her. We haven't seen her in an episode be apart from the doctor. And those are like the times when we see companions shine, and they didn't give her anything to do. And now we're going into a finale where there's going to be tons of characters and she might get pushed further into the background.
Yeah.
Do you imagine being the companion of the doctor and just every single day, everything you do goes horribly wrong and now your life is in danger?
Well, and especially this season, because like these stories are like, she's wearing the same outfit from last week. These stories are running back to back. She's probably been with the doctor for like 19 hours this whole season. I'm sure someone could figure it out.
Well, yeah, because they're charging the Vindicator, right? And you don't need to wait days between a charge. Like they're probably just
it took like
doing
5 seconds, but they're like, "Hey, let's chill and watch this."
Right. Yeah.
I would totally.
We stole these seats and there's a banging on the door that we're going to ignore.
Right?
These are our tickets.
Oh, if a robot ever told me phase one complete, I'm shooting everything. Like, just hears that and it's like, what's going on?
She just goes, "What's phase one?" And it just keeps working.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? It's crazy.
Why do you think Earth is destroyed?
Yeah,
that's what I came up with, too.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's an RTD finale. I'm sure it's going to be wildly disappointing.
No, I think the Ronnie and the Doctor are in parallel with their wants and needs. I think there's...
Yeah, she's using his Vindicator data to get back as well. Like, she clearly can't get there either. So she's following the doctor because she's like, well, he'll figure it out.
And
I mean, is it going to be something intense? Like,
it's got to be a god.
Where, like, Belinda has to be mind wiped or, like, sacrificed in order for Earth to come back?
No.
Mind wiped from what?
I don't know. From her 19 hour adventure.
It's going to be.
Donna wasn't mind wiped. Was Donna mind wiped?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Cody, yes. Come on.
I thought that was the.
Yes. Sam, slap him.
Bad the wolf whole... girl.
The whole three specials for the 60th anniversary were about her recovering from the mind wipe. When her
I do remember
Rose
that she
got
couldn't remember
the other doctor.
But was Rose mind wiped
in an alternate dimension?
Oh,
Rose, yeah, she
yeah,
left
Rose
to a different
slaps.
Place.
Rose eight.
It's gonna be some god reveal, and it's gonna be in a simulation. Everything's gonna be fake. That's what's happening.
They're all in pods. They're in gummy, gooey pods. They're going to come out like...
No, I don't subscribe to the simulations.
I don't know.
I think there's going to be an ex machina that just the Earth comes back. Time is rewound. And the event that destroys Earth just poof, doesn't happen anymore.
Earth will come back because it has to.
There'll be a quarry.
There will be a quarry.
I think having no Earth for the rest of Doctor Who would be a really fun little
twist.
That would
be interesting, actually.
I mean, you could always
at
go
least
in the
a
past.
Season.
Heck yeah.
Let's hold off on speculating for the finale and talk about this episode for a little while longer.
Oh, yeah.
And we could do that at the end.
That's part of this episode. The Earth is gone.
Well, we had Graham Norton kind of drop that bomb, which his delivery was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And his suit... Oh,
he is an actor. He started out as an actor.
It was really good.
He's in the behind the scenes. He was very happy to be there. He loves Doctor Who. He had, you guys don't know this, everyone listening knows this, but the very first episode of Christopher Eccleston's Doctor Who, Graham Norton was doing like a live special, and it like cut to black and then went into the first episode of Doctor Who, and he started like doing some lines for like commercials, like they were advertising like this special coming up that they just shot, and they left his mic live, so while the Doctor Who episode was airing you could hear Graham Norton just talking. So he has technically been on Doctor Who before. But Doctor Who fans were so mad at Graham Norton because he like was ruining the first ever episode of Doctor Who coming back.
That's so awkward. Who got fired for that?
God, it's gotta be a couple people.
Oh my gosh.
Not him, though.
You know, fire a talent like that.
I really like the, just the goofy aspect after a couple of, like, heavy episodes of, like, the talent show type thing, like the American Idol spinoff of whatever that show is called. Space something or other.
What?
The like, the song show.
Eurovision is a real big thing that's been going on for 50 years.
They didn't call it Eurovision.
So this is the Interstellar Song Contest based on the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, like that was a fun little tie-in to like a more serious story. Like
it was great, and you don't know this, but it aired on the same day as the Eurovision Song Contest, so they matched it up for that.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool. I just like the like thoughtful little tie-in to like not just having something like super serious and heavy and whatever. Like I thought they played that in really well and brought like the show back in several different times like throughout the story and like made it matter. Like it wasn't just it was kind of just a background thing to like add some time to the episode maybe, but they like made it count, and I thought that was really nice.
Well, and it had the most like heart-wrenching thing too with the Hellions, the story of their planet, and
we hear the guy say when he's explaining the place to the doctor that the Hellions did it to themselves, like they destroyed their own crops and their own planet, and we find out that's not what happened.
Yeah,
they're being vilified, so they're being villains.
Yeah.
But like tying the like hype of that type of show into like how many viewers and all that stuff. Like it all makes sense. Like it's mm-hmm. like just a lighter aside of the story, but like tied in really nicely.
That worked for just hyping up the episode for me. Mm-hmm. Like Interstellar Song Contest. I was so excited to watch this episode.
I just really wanted to watch the whole Interstellar Song Contest.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Murray Gold did write 4 original songs, and I think we've only heard 3.
Hmm.
Like the one in an alien language that she sings at the end.
Mm-hmm. How do you she write sings that? The one,
incredible.
The song she was gonna sing about having big feet.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
And then there is some like cartoon alien singing like a Dug-a-doo. Baby shark kind of song. Yeah. They released the whole like 2-minute video on the YouTube channel.
Yep. I thought the Big Feet song was going to come back and be something. It did not.
I was blown away that she was singing a song in a made up language, like lip syncing with the song on camera. That was incredible.
Hold on. Were they lip syncing?
Well, of course. Who knows? Everything you watch on TV is lip sync because they do.
Yeah, but voice sometimes later. Like lip. Sometimes sunk. The actors actually record it though. So no, like
she definitely like is a singer. Right?
That was
like,
her.
That was her. I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
She is.
She's
really
got a
good.
Real nice voice.
Her IMDb is all like recorded musicals from theater.
Oh, musical gal. Yeah, it showed. She was really really good.
What'd you guys think of our villains? Kid and Wynn?
Yep.
They were great.
Calling the guy Kid because he has horns and he's like a goat is just infuriating. Come on, guys.
No, they left because he was a kid when his mom left.
No, that wasn't it no one knew his real name because his parents died?
Yeah,
because
he was a kid.
Sam just said. But... Yeah.
No, but like, wasn't that a joke that people gave him that because, like, it's not a name he chose, right?
But it's his name. Like he was never named, so that's the name they gave him,
right?
But you know that they named him Kid because he has horns. They're like, oh, we have to write in some dumb reason why his name's Kid.
100%.
Well, I was taking that as like the putting down of the Hellions. Still, like that was the vibe.
Just the fact that they're the Hellions is a fucking disaster.
Well, come the on. Planet
well,
was
from
Helia.
Helia.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah.
Right. They named them Hellions because they're racing hell. Then they're like, well, what planet are they from? Well, they're from Hella. Or Helia.
Reminded me
they
of the girl
find
from
a
Severance.
Planet and be like, well, I guess we have to call them this.
But, okay, so in the last episode, we saw the Ronnie pick up douchebag. Is she gonna pick up Kid and there's just gonna be like a gang of baddies at the end?
I didn't see so judging by the end because of Kid's reaction to the song, I think that's supposed to be like him reconciling with his fate and realizing he's doing the wrong thing. So I don't think so. I think they would have shown us if he was getting picked up. I mean, they still could get picked up, but nothing I've seen in the promotion for the finale shows him.
I like that actor, though. He was really good. Very hateable.
Yeah, he's in House of the Dragon, I think.
Hot D.
Yeah, Freddy Fox. He's Sir Gawain Hightower. He's like in one episode.
I really enjoyed watching Mrs. Flood in this. And just when the dome was going to burst, just seeing the confusion on her face. Because this whole time, I had been thinking that she was, like, knew what the hell was going on, like, in charge, like, had everything under control. And just to see that this event happening was, like, completely messing up with her schedule. And that was super fun.
We see at the end of last season, she's not really doing anything that has much to do with our story. Like, when the world is ending, she goes to... Ruby's grandma and is like, well, I had so many plans, I guess we're fucked, and just kind of crawls into bed with her. It's like, we're dead.
But then at the end too, like when she does split, like immediately she goes into like servant mode. It was crazy.
Yeah, let's do one more thing before we get to that, and that is
okay.
Susan.
Yes.
Who?
Were you guys excited to see Susan? Did you miss her?
Alex was so mm-hmm. pumped.
Dude, when she said grandfather, I was like, holy shit. I couldn't. Oh, I was so pumped.
Cody, what did you say when you saw Susan?
Who the hell is that?
Yep, sure did.
She looks exactly the same as she did 62 years ago.
Precisely.
Because she went to go live on a farm, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she was abandoned by her grandfather.
It was her choice.
No, it definitely wasn't.
Some of the language the doctor uses in this makes me wonder, because when he's talking about seeing her, he stops himself and says, that's not possible. And so if she was just in Earth in the year 21 or 2218, whatever the fuck it was, then she would just be there living her life and then maybe one day regenerating and living another life. But it made it seem in the way he talked about his all of his people dying out in 1 second that it wasn't just the Time Lords that were there, that it was like all Time Lords everywhere. Or maybe they're trying to say, oh, eventually she went back to Gallifrey. She figured it out.
I mean, it did just show her just how in it made a TARDIS. Me feel. So is she flying around doing her own deal?
Well, she's in his mind.
Yeah, it was like the doctor's TARDIS.
But then that doesn't make sense because the master, like, survived the Gallifrey murder. So
the master's the one that did it, Terry.
Right. Well, he's still alive.
So but we haven't seen him. All the but time we do hear him. Right. And obviously, we just saw the fucking Ronnie.
Yeah.
So there's... But on the other flip side of what I just said, narratively, they could just be saying that because they want to be like, there's no Time Lords except for this one. Psych, here's the Ronnie. Now we get to figure out how she survived. So you guys don't know. Alex does. Well, I guess we're talking about the Ronnie now. No one wanted to talk about Susan. I was super excited to see Susan.
Wait, what else? It was exciting. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
Well, she says in the very few words that she says, find me, which makes you think she's coming back. And all I want is somebody to give Carol Ann Ford a fucking regeneration scene, and then you don't have to do anything with it. It can fade to black. We never see who she turns into. And then just anyone down the line can do as many Susan stories as they want, because you could just cast somebody to be Susan.
I think that'd be great.
Okay.
But also doing a Dr. Susan, Dr. Companion duo for a season, that'd be pretty sick.
Fuck yeah. Do a fucking... The doctor just taking a break and be like, here, take the TARDIS. You're old enough. And then just Susan and the companion. Okay. The Ronnie. I hated every second of this. But what do you guys think?
Is it because you were wrong, or why did you hate it?
Why the bi-generation?
Yeah, that's my question.
That was weird. I dislike that they made this girl that we've watched for so many episodes diminished.
Also, what was...
Why not, though? It just opens up potential.
What was the other bi-generation that we've seen?
It was the doctor.
David Tennant and Shurigawa.
And what happened to them?
David Tennant
lives with Donna, and Shuti's the doctor.
As the doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just chilling.
No, it is a grocer.
As the doctor, with all
TARDIS.
Of his...
The TARDIS also bi-generated.
Yeah, oh, the TARDIS no. did bi-generate.
I'm over bi-generation.
It was still under the influence of the rules of the game, so it could turn into two TARDISes.
I did... I did take a note that when the Ronnie said, she is a Ronnie, but I am the Ronnie. So does that mean David Tennant is a doctor, but Shuti is the doctor?
Well, it's just repeating a line that the doctor has said in the past. It's just RTD, you know, having fun, circle jerking with Doctor Who fans.
Mm-hmm.
When
but she took control.
We see... Right, like, but when, obviously, but the it seems like he thought of the line first, then made a reason for it, because when David Bradley's playing the first Doctor and Peter Capaldi meets him, he says, "You might be a doctor, but I'm the doctor, the definitive article, or the definite article." And that's what the Ronnie says here. "I'm the Ronnie, the definite article." And that's something that the first Doctor says way back in the day. And so, yeah, it's just a bunch of fan wankiness.
But now we know he's not actually the article, so it's all bullshit.
So with the and scenario, do we think then that if Mrs. Flood were to, like, die, essentially, do you think she would regenerate again? Or would she just be over because she's not the Ronnie?
Well, so they did regenerate. That's the point of the bi-generation. David Tennant did regenerate into Shudigatwa.
Right.
But he just gets to, like, so everything...
But I'm that saying,
David Tennant's
like,
going to continue. I know. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Everything David Tennant's going to live, Shudi already lived it. So, yes, he will regenerate, but into Shudi, it's just that it already happened. It makes no sense, and it's dumb as shit.
Interesting.
And now we've done it twice. But, yes, it gives the Ronnie, like, her own companion. It begs the question, are we going to see that David Tennant in the finale, because we've got two Ronnies. Do we need two doctors to fight her?
That's what I was suspecting. It's like they got to even it out. So, boom. Because it seems so shoehorned.
Tennant's been going around saying he's not going to return to Doctor Who for a long time if he ever does. But if he's in this episode, he would have shot it like a year and a half ago. And Billy Piper and David Tennant were recently in the Cardiff Studios because they're doing a documentary for the 25th anniversary of New Who. So while they had Shudi in there to shoot some, like, retouch up some scenes, Tennant could have gotten in there too.
We also have a two-parter finale.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
We normally do.
That's not a normal thing.
Every RTD season.
Well, there's only like four of those.
This is the seventh.
There's only like seven of those.
If you count the year of the specials. And I think Moffat only did one-part finale. Anyway. I also hate that they did it in a credit sequence. Why? It seems like a really important thing.
Why can't it be in the episode? It was just like a sprinkling. I don't know. I didn't like it. Like, I like it, but I didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you had to end the whole, like, potential murder thing on a happy note and then toss in this, oh, God, danger's coming afterwards. Like, if you had it immediately after, like, if she got, like, revived right away and then this happened... Like, the episode would have to be a two-parter.
There's nothing in that scene that indicates danger. If you're just Joe Schmo watching this, you have no fucking clue who the Ronnie is. Okay, a Time Lord regenerated. Oh, they bi-generated. Oh, one of them's kind of a dick to the other one. Okay. That means nothing.
But I know.
You know.
There's...
Because you're a psycho who's watched Classic Who.
So there is some... I just want to know what the Ronnie's up to. There's always, like, something. And
well, that brings me to my next fear, which is that RTD's basically going to write her as the Master when she's very different from the Master.
That would be annoying.
You guys don't know because you haven't seen, but basically she's another Time Lord who's... smarter than both the Doctor and the Master. The first time we meet her, it takes both of them to stop her. And maybe that's the second time. I can't remember. But she's a scientist. She does experiments that aren't really ethical, but she doesn't care. She's kind of so thirsty for knowledge that she doesn't care about the consequences. So she's evil, but not like mustache twirling evil like the Master can be. She's just like in a constant search of knowledge.
Like mad wizard vibes. Get a shift on.
And if RTD is just writing, ends up just making her kind of the master, he was kind of the worst at writing the master out of all of our showrunners so far.
That's why I think that Ronnie is going to be in line with the Doctor, and they're going to have to work together to solve the gods or whatever's going on.
Probably eventually. Like, I think episode one's going to be them against each other, and then, yeah, episode two, they kind of come together. It just makes sense. I mean, he did that with the Master in their last story. The Master ends up saving the Doctor and going into hell with the rest of the Time Lords.
Ooh, maybe we'll get a scene of the two bi-generated Time Lords piloting the TARDIS correctly and solving something.
Just so many Doctors. Donna comes back, she's like, yeah, me too, I'm a Doctor. All right. Any final things anyone's got?
We haven't seen a Master with Shooty yet, right?
Correct.
Okay.
He's been in 14 episodes so far.
And if we get through these last two episodes without a Master, that's crazy.
Oh, we're definitely not getting the Master.
But, like, there's
Would that be the first series? Or no, I guess the first Doctor never had.
Do we not have any tweets? He?
But there's no, like, classic enemies. Like, Master, Daleks, Cybermen in, what, two seasons of Shooty?
Like, if you think about it, RTD was never, like, really good at writing those monsters. Like,
yeah.
I think Chibnall and Moffat were better at writing the Master. I think Chibnall was better at writing Daleks and Cybermen than both of the other two. And I don't think those are really RTD's strengths, so he's just going to stay away from them. It's a bummer we're not going to see Shooty interact with those things, but...
But he can hire others. Like, he's the runner. He runs the show.
One would think, but why has he written so many of these 16 episodes?
Crazy.
Write the premiere, write the finale, give out some stuff.
So, do you think after, Korra, like, did her song of sadness and stuff like that, like, they actually had the rest of the show, or did everyone just go home?
No, they said they're not going to do a show, but here's Korra because we all are happy to be alive. It was in the dialogue in the episode we were talking about.
I mean, I still would be a little sad. Like, I hope everyone got reimbursed. Because, oh my God.
I mean, they're going to sue. It's a class action lawsuit. they're all fucking rich.
The corporation was taken down, turns out.
Oh, yeah. This was the last Interstellar Song Contest.
Oh. Have we seen the Delta Wave before? Was that the thing that Davros created?
No.
Oh.
That was the Gravity Bomb.
Oh, okay.
Nope. The Reality Bomb. The Delta Wave was something that Christopher Eccleston was making in his finale to blow up all of the Daleks. But as he's making it, he realizes it's also going to blow up Earth. So he chooses not to use it. And then Rose as Bad Wolf shows up and saves everybody anyway. Back when the show was good.
Also, like, Kid and Wynn did this whole thing just themselves. Like, they are ridiculously smart for doing all of this.
Yeah. We should hire them to be companions.
They are a mastermind.
That's a loser.
They are a mastermind together. That's actually crazy. I didn't really think of that.
Well, I mean, Kid is clearly some kind of, like, technical whiz, and Wynn just, like, got a job in production for a television network.
She was working from the inside.
Yeah. And I don't know what she ever... Like, I didn't notice her do anything to, like, let him in or anything. It seemed like he had it all pretty under control.
Well, he already controlled everything.
She gave him some passwords, probably.
Yeah.
Buffalo 2Fs1L.
S-word fish.
Terry, who's your MVP?
No, tweets.
Yeah, tweets.
Oh, shit.
An instant.
Guys, I have here in my hand a telephone. I asked a little late in the day. Nothing on Twitter. I know that Holly said something on Instagram. We have a message here from Hollywood Not Alex.
Hollywood Not.
She's giving me shit for not putting out any podcasts in a little while. I'm behind.
Bro. Yeah, why are we even recording?
Yeah, why are we doing this weekly? You. Fuck.
I'm busy.
I disagree.
Well, you would be right. I mean, do you know how many video games there are? All right. On Instagram, Hollywood Not says, mixed feelings. Loved the good, hated the bad. Don't want to be negative, so I will say I'm excited for next week. And I didn't think the politics were as bad as everyone else said they were. Dr. Twitter has been so toxic this series, I'm glad you're on Instagram for me to comment. Otherwise, I'd probably keep silent. Also, finger crossed. Oh, this is finger crossed. This means that the next pod is out today. I need my Married to Who fix. It's coming. I've got like 11 minutes left of editing on.
You know, an by episode. The time this podcast comes out, that one will have been out for a couple weeks. There you go.
Maybe a couple hours. A
couple months at the pace I'm at right now.
Boomed yourself.
They go on, oh, Pod Preteen didn't care for it either, but he actually liked the reveal of the Ronnie, having watched some classic. He's a psycho like Alex. Ew. So maybe RTD is dialed in with what the youngins want, even if it isn't what I want.
I
want
to know what they thought the good and what the bad was. Very vague.
What was right after
well,
that?
Well, they don't want
hold
to be
on,
negative.
They said good, bad, then what?
Then they said, I don't want to be negative, so I'm just going to stop talking.
There is something.
Are you talking like the politics?
Oh yeah, what was the politics?
Oh,
well, the corporation.
Honey. Think there is like
taking honey from bees and putting it.
Poppy honey.
In.
Yeah, guys, like
we didn't talk about poppy.
As soon as they showed that, immediately I was like, oh, well, that's key for something.
We don't need to talk
so
about
just,
poppy honey.
We just saw the return of poppy last week, and now we've got poppy honey. You know for a fact that in next episode or in this two-part finale, at some point, Shooty Gatwa will say the phrase, oh, Poppy, honey.
Do you think Poppy, like, has grown up ridiculously more and, like, is now, like, evil?
Like a giant?
Yeah. She was a giant baby in space.
Oh, the little kid's name was Poppy?
Yes.
Oh, I did not talk that at all. I was with Belinda. Belinda's like, is that drugs? Like, what are you talking?
They showed it so many times to be like, guys, you might not have known that little girl was Poppy, but guess what? And in the podcast I'm currently editing, Sam makes a joke, or maybe it's Terry, about
offended.
Them just like putting words on the wall in or RGD just putting words up on the wall for all of his episodes. Like, you know, we used to see Bad Wolf, we used to see Torchwood, and now like everything said Lucky Day and it just pissed off Terry.
Yeah.
Now we just see Poppy, because that's how RGD pushes narratives forward, is by having words on walls.
I never read the words on walls.
That's why you crash into so many things.
What?
Hey, Sam, who's your MVP?
Give it to Shooty. He had a really good.
Cody?
I'm pretty sure this is the first time I agree with Sam and have given it to Shooty.
In your whole life.
Ever. Ever.
Perry?
I'm giving it to the writer, Juno Dawson.
Juno Dawson. I'm
going
to follow up by giving it to the director, Ben A. Williams. I think this episode looked great.
Yeah.
And
true.
Like, lots of special effects only work if you shoot for special effects. And having particularly seen the behind-the-scenes stuff, they did a great job. Like, they had like 100 extras, and they made it seem like a bajillion people. Alex.
I'm going to go with Korra, because that song at the end, it got me. It got me choked up. It was great.
Their name is Miriam Teak Lee, who also played voice in the video game Star Wars Outlaws.
Voice? Wow.
Dang. I can't believe Alex didn't say CGI or whatever, because both times we watched it, when the like people were floating in the sky, he's like, oh, what a shot.
Dude, it was
I'd so like good. To change my MVP and also disagree with Sam.
Jill, who's your MVP?
Mine?
Yep.
Shooty. Shooty's my MVP. I'm not giving it to anyone. You're all gross. But Shooty's definitely the MVP.
Fair. I have it in my hand.
No.
The Cat Jennings Trivia Almanac.
Also, what happened to the 9 p.m. train, Jake?
Yeah, Jake.
It happened right, like, I was on, me and Terry were on, and you weren't there yet. It's when it happened.
Dude, offended. I got to pee so bad.
Go pee. We pause. You pee fast.
No, you're fine. This'll take 14 seconds.
It won't.
Alex, answer these questions about other foods named for world capitals.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What tuber, also called the sunroot or topinambur, is actually native to North America, not the Middle East?
Manicotti.
Nail it in one.
I don't even know what you're looking for an answer. Like, what the fuck?
A tuber is like,
it's
a potato.
A food that shares a name.
Tuber is
that
a potato?
Was named for a world capital.
Potatoes are tubers.
There.
No idea.
The answer to this one is a Jerusalem artichoke.
Yeah, I knew it had that for sure.
Definitely have heard of
Jill,
that.
What dish is prepared by frying a breaded, buttered chicken breast?
Oh, chicken parmesan?
Very close, but it has to have a world capital in the name.
you don't know of so-and-so chicken parmesan?
Is parmesan not the capital somewhere?
Parmesan, Japan?
Yeah.
It's, it's chicken Kiev.
Okay.
Man.
You knew that one.
Our friends in the Ukraine.
It didn't say stuffed. It's bullshit.
Sam, what chili pepper was believed the hottest in the world until the Naga Jalokia pepper was discovered in India in 2000? God, these are mid.
There's definitely a town called Ghost, right?
I think I know this one.
What do you got, Alex?
Isn't it the Reaper? The Carolina Reaper?
No.
2000. Carolina Reaper is much newer.
Is it really?
I want to guess.
The answer is habanero.
What?
Named for Havana, Cuba.
Isn't Serrano not that?
I don't know. Leave me alone.
It would be extremely spicy to Terry.
Yeah.
It's so Cody, spicy. Besides corn, what? Shut up. Cody, besides corn, what's the other principal ingredient in succotash?
Oh.
So suffering, easy. Obviously.
Suffering. molasses.
Lima beans.
Lima beans.
Where did lima?
You see, because there's a capital in the name.
Terry, in much of Europe, the sausages we call hot dogs are named for what city?
Bratwurst?
No.
The city of Bratwurst?
Frank?
No, Vienna.
Oh, I thought it was Frankfurter.
Vienna sausages.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I thought it was Frankfurter.
Terry, you're bringing it back. This is a new category. It's called Bus to Move. These are bus questions.
Okay.
Terry, in the movie Speed, dropping below what speed will blow up the bus?
Dude, that's fucking easy.
No.
God
I
damn it.
I immediately thought of this, too.
Not if you're Terry.
60?
Boo!
50. Ah. 50, you dumb bitch.
It would have been better if it was 60.
Cody, a statue of what TV character stands outside the 8th Avenue entrance of New York's Port Authority bus terminal?
Wow.
The lead of a television show from the 70s who was a bus driver.
Homer Simpson.
Ralph Cramden.
Not a clue.
Sam, in what city did Rosa Parks refuse to move to the back of the bus?
Montgomery,
you
Alabama.
Are It was Margaret Riordan.
Yes, I've been there.
We went to the
museum. She would not have known that if it weren't for Doctor Who.
No, I physically have been there and on the bus.
Ooh.
Yeah, super cool.
Jill?
Hmm?
What has coast-to-coast commuter John Madden dubbed his famous luxury bus? I didn't know this.
No idea.
The Madden Cruiser. Hmm. By the way, they've been dropping pictures of a John Madden biopic where Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden. It's insane. Alex, what Ken Kesey-led group toured America in a psychedelic school bus called Further?
There were like hippies. Fuck.
I mean, they were in a psychedelic
tour
bus. There's. Oh my god, I'm gonna be so mad.
No, you're not. It's impossible.
Oh, is it? Okay. I thought it was like a normal thing that people would know, where it was like, It was like freedom fighters, but like for hippies. I can't remember.
It's a band.
Oh.
That was in the question.
The who? I don't know.
The Merry Pranksters.
Nope. All right. Wouldn't have had that. Not mad.
Okay. Alex, do the song. This has been Married to Who, our episode on the Interstellar Song Contest. If you'd like to participate with us, you can do so on our Twitter page, Married to Who Pod, or Instagram, Married to Who, or Blue Sky at Married to Who. I'm at myself, Jake, Cody, Jill, Sam, Alex, and Terry. I've never said it in that order before. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for Wish World. Be-do-do.